UB Live at the National Science Complex of the State University of New York at Buffalo. I'm Dr. Michael Bozarth. The following presentation is a lecture delivered to my Psychology 451 course on drug addiction. The book is titled Fundamentals of Drug Addiction, A Psychobiological Approach. The book is currently in preparation with a spring 2013 anticipated publication date. Students enrolled in the course have access to printed text, study guides, and slides to support the learning objectives. These materials are not yet available to the general public. Sit back, enjoy, and learn. This presentation is part 6 of our primer on psychopharmacology and examines the basic characteristics of sensitization and its proposed role in drug addiction. While tolerance to a drug's rewarding effects would cause it to lose effectiveness and eventually extinguish drug-taking behavior, sensitization to a drug's rewarding effects could explain the increased motivational strength of the drug, which is a characteristic of addiction.
Sensitization is exactly what the word says. It's increased sensitivity. Tolerance is decreased sensitivity to a drug. Sensitization is increased sensitivity to the drug. Some people would call that reverse tolerance. We don't like that term so well, because when you say reverse tolerance, that implies certain things. Are you reversing tolerance that's already there? No. Sensitization doesn't necessarily have an animal with any tolerance at all. It just starts as normal, and then it gets more sensitive. Now, sometimes you have tolerance and sensitization interacting, but often, as I explained with the cocaine, it's just pure sensitization. Cocaine's a stimulatory drug, and the animals get more sensitive to the stimulatory dose of cocaine. What we have, the next slide, is we have a group of rats that have received cocaine 3 different times, each time separated by 72 hours. This is the effect of cocaine the first time they received it. This is a pretest with saline or placebo. You can see that this dose of cocaine, which happens to be 10 milligrams per kilogram, that's an intermediate dose of cocaine, causes a significant increase in locomotor activity. You can compare them to their pretest scores and see how their scores went up. There's a test that's done 3 days earlier under placebo conditions. You can compare them to the control group. This is a group that receives saline injections, and they're tested for 30 minutes in a locomotor chamber as well. The important thing to see from this is that the second time that they get the cocaine, trial 2, 72 hours after this first test, they get the same dose of cocaine, but look how high the responding is. It is much higher than the responding that they initially showed. Now, there's 2 ways to look at that. Again, look at it within the groups. Compare the trial 1 with trial 2, increase in cocaine-stimulated locomotor activity, and what you see is there's a lot stronger response. What you would not know, because you haven't seen a dose-response curve for cocaine, but what you should be able to extrapolate from what I've taught you already about dose-response analysis, is that this larger response from cocaine that you see right here, that would be equivalent to giving a higher dose of cocaine. It turns out that if I wanted to produce this level of locomotor activity and rats have never gotten cocaine before, I'd have to give them probably double that dose, maybe a little more. I have to give them at least 20 milligrams instead of 10, maybe even 30. That's a pretty strong response. It's almost like doubling the dose. If I didn't double the dose, it's the same dose. It's increased sensitivity, aka sensitization. You need to know that word. Now, if I give them another dose of cocaine 3 days later, they show even more sensitization. In fact, this process continues for some time. How high it goes, how long, that all has to do with what drug you test, the interval between injections, what dose, what measure. You know, those are all variables that there's not an absolute number to. But the point is that sensitization continues to develop over time with the animal. Eventually, it starts to flatten off and you reach maximum increased sensitivity. But it's something that doesn't occur with just the first injection. It develops even stronger with the second injection and the third injection. So it's not just you've been exposed once, now you have maximum sensitivity. You have increased sensitivity. What makes this even more interesting is you've listened to my mini lecture on the relationship of locomotor activity to dopamine and the relationship of dopamine to mood and affect. Then you know that if we take this scale out here and we replace it with dopamine efflux in the nucleus accumbens, or more interesting yet for a clinical psychologist, we say this would be affect, this would be mood, how good you're feeling, up from normal up to euphoria, and you'd see these same rises in behavior, the same pattern that you see right here. Now remember, you saw this already with the dose response curve for 4 different stimulants, if you go back earlier in the chapter. This is the same compound repeatedly tested. So you're seeing the same kind of increase in response. Before it was caused by an increased dose of drug. Here it's caused by an increased number of trials, an increased exposure to the drug. So start thinking drug use continuum. start thinking that it's repeatedly used the drug, even if you don't change the route of administration or the dose. If you just use the same dose over and over of a psychomotor stimulant, think of pharmacology and classification. As goes cocaine, probably goes amphetamine, probably goes methamphetamine. That's why you learn those classes. These data are for cocaine. Much of the work's done with amphetamine. They do the same thing. Different drugs, same behavior. In fact, you get the same sort of pattern, sensitization, to opioids given in low to medium doses as well. So there's another similarity. We'll talk more and more about that later. But you get sensitization within the class of psychomotor stimulants, and you get sensitization to at least a few effects produced by morphine and heroin. So it starts to get real interesting now, because you know that reinforcement, motivation, the impact of the drug should have something to do with pulling one along the drug use continuum, and that has everything to do with progressing from casual recreational use through other levels of use on eventually to addiction. Now let me show you one more way to look at that. Let's imagine that instead of locomotor activity, this is related to dopamine or related to affect, and let's say all three of those things relate to motivational strength. If this depicted motivational strength, this might be the first time that you're exposed to cocaine. It produces a larger motivational strength with cocaine than what you see with conventional rewards. What you need to notice is that you have a difference there, but the cocaine is not tremendously stronger than our conventional rewards. The difference is not very big. As you repeatedly take the cocaine, you get an increase in the differential between what a conventional reinforcer might be able to motivate you for and what the drug reinforcer can motivate you for. In other words, this would be one of the two components of motivational toxicity. Motivational toxicity could be produced by increases in the motivational efficacy of the drug, that parallel sensitization. And the other component, which is not depicted in this figure, would be decreases in the reinforcing magnitude of conventional reinforcers. If I were to depict just what I think happens with motivational toxicity, this line here, which is meant now to hypothetically represent how motivated you are for conventional reward, food, water, sex, and so forth, this line would be going down like that, so you'd have an even bigger gap. I'm showing you this for the umpteenth time from a slightly different perspective, trying to get it to sink in what addiction is really all about. Motivational dysfunction. Within the class of psychomotor stimulants, you get sensitization to amphetamine. The animal's also sensitized to cocaine. They're also sensitized to methamphetamine. They're also sensitized to methylphenidate. That has really important implications if you think about it, because we have a large population of young people that receive methylphenidate and amphetamine, Ritalin and Adderall, respectively, for the treatment of ADD or ADHD. And the question of the week for me and for other investigators would be, does that produce sensitization so that when they experiment with these drugs, maybe in high school, early college, like young people sometimes do, would they respond like a normal person? In other words, they get the drug and they take the cocaine or maybe even amphetamine, crystal meth. Is it like the first graph that I showed you where there's a small difference between the motivational effect of the illicit drug, the psychomotor stimulant, cocaine, or is there a big difference as in the sensitized case? So let me say that slightly differently again. You could have a person that's been therapeutically exposed to a psychomotor stimulant, and when they try cocaine, they get a much different response than what you or I would get if we haven't taken these drugs in the past. We just get, oh, that's pretty good, but I wouldn't like give you $100 for it or go steal money from your mom. And then somebody else tries that same drug, but they're sensitized already because they've been taking methylphenidate for therapeutic reasons, and now they show a big response. So there's maybe four of you taking the drug, and three of you walk away going, that's okay, I'm kind of glad we tried it, but don't get caught, let's not do that again. And the fourth person is saying, we're going to get more of that shit out. You know, they're motivated. You see how the implications are important. Genes might do that too, hypersensitive dopamine system. We'll get into some various theories later. Now, so far, we're not really worried about that, in the sense that therapeutic doses of these drugs do not appear to cause a gigantic increase in the incidence of addiction to psychomotor stimulants and other drugs. But we don't really know. We're still collecting the human data. See, we could produce that in an animal. If I give the animal the cocaine or amphetamine, and then I give them a challenge dose of the other drug, I show cross-sensitization. And that cross-sensitization would produce a stronger reinforcing effect. We know that from laboratory work. The question for the week is, how much amphetamine in a rat is equivalent to how much amphetamine in a human? And are we translating our rat doses back to human therapeutic doses? Human therapeutic doses tend to be much lower than the doses people might choose to abuse. And some of the data are suggesting that there is a relationship there, but the relationship's not as bad as what might be suggested by just that sensitization graph. The moral of the message is continue to take your medication, but understand that you may be at a higher risk for trying certain drugs, like the psychomotor stimulants, if you've been receiving stimulant medication. Now make it more complicated. Partial cross-sensitization. You might try another drug, oxycodone, and you might be more sensitive to that too because you've therapeutically taken methylphenidate or amphetamine. So you have to watch out. You have to understand you could be at increased risk. What that means is instead of starting way down on the low end of that drug use continuum, and you can kind of take it or leave it, and if you're smart, you'll leave it. If you have a lot of peer pressure or rebelliousness or you're really pissed at your parents, then you might get stoned on crystal meth. But, you know, for the most part, you might walk away from it. But somebody else that's had this sensitized experience, whether it's from previous therapeutic drug use or whether it's a genetic aberration or stress cross-sensitizes, we can stress animals and then administer a small dose of cocaine or phenamine. And it's like they got a much longer dose. So what I'm showing you is many different things that could modulate reactivity to drugs. The advanced class, we get into factors that may cause variation in how rapidly somebody develops an addiction. In this class, you just need to understand that that's what happens when you're exposed to drugs. It's the simple exposure model. Don't worry about the variation. Don't worry about that less than 10% residual variance that some learn fast, some learn slow. Some people seem to be resistant. Other people seem to be a natural-born addiction. Tolerance to sensitization depends largely on the drug. Opioids show mostly tolerance. They show tolerance to analgesia, cough suppression to some degree, the constipating effect, and also the sedative action. Locomotor stimulation from low doses of opioids shows sensitization. We'll get more into that in the last module when we talk about biological mechanisms underlying drug effects. But what I'm showing you now is that you do get at least one class of sensitized responses out of the opioids. It overlaps with the sensitized responses you get from the psychomotor stimulants. Psychomotor stimulants generally cause sensitization, including locomotor stimulation. But they also cause sensitization in things like their seizure-inducing ability. An individual that's been exposed to cocaine repeatedly and then subject to a loud noise, we do this in laboratory rats, not people, but laboratory rats, they go into convulsions. They show a sensitized response. That's a non-associative conditioning procedure, actually, which we won't go into more detail, but if you know about learning theory, that's the way that would work. It's an environmental variable that is now eliciting a response in a sensitized individual that would not be elicited in a non-sensitized individual. But what you need to understand is the obvious. Psychomotor stimulants generally produce sensitization as a primary pharmacological effect. Opioids are usually associated with tolerance to their primary pharmacological effects, with the exception of their locomotor stimulating effects. But that also relates to their dopamine stimulating effects, right? And that also relates to reinforcing effects, is what I say. But you might want to put a bridge in there called mood and affect. I think that causes it. And then that goes to reinforcement. Technically, mood and affect have nothing to do with reinforcement. Important features of sensitization relevant to drug reward. Sensitization is largely context dependent. That is, we have those rats that were tested in a certain locomotor activity box or test chamber that you just saw, and they show increased sensitivity to the same dose of cocaine. But if I test them in a different locomotor chamber, a different environment, out of that context, they lose much of their sensitization. Sensitization tends to be context dependent. You have it where you've experienced the drug in the past. We have much less of it in a different environment, a novel environment, or is where we usually test in laboratory animals. It could be another environment you're familiar with, but you don't normally do drugs. So if you do drugs at the club, you might be sensitized to the effect of the drug at the club, but when you do it at home, you may lose much of your sensitization. That same effect they did talk about in context of tolerance and opiate tolerance. Much of tolerance to opiates is also context dependent. I used the example of the heroin addict that took a stash and went to L.A., injected his usual dose of heroin, and died because he lost his tolerance in New York City. We do that in laboratory rats all the time. Death is not the endpoint, mind you. Never in my experiments, for sure, and not for most laboratory investigators. We look at sedation and analgesia and other sorts of things. But that tends to be context-dependent, too. Some sensitization is context-independent. Even in the novel environment, they'll still show a little bit increased response. That technically is called pharmacological sensitization, and the other sensitization we call context-dependent sensitization. but for the most part, it's context dependent. That's the main theme to know. Depends on the environment where you received the drug in the past. It's associative conditioning. Think of the bell ringing, the food powder in the mouth, and the dog salivating. It's that type of conditioning. It's classical conditioning. So if you don't ring the bell, instead you flash a light, you wouldn't expect to see that much associative conditioning. The light's never been associated with the drug before. Sensitization is usually even stronger with intermittent than daily administration. Why is that important? Because a lot of people will think, oh, well, we'll just take the cocaine on the weekends at the club, and I don't take it during the week, so I won't get sensitized, right? I'll take it on the weekend, and any sensitization I start to build up, I'll lose that during the week, so when I go back on Friday night and take the drug again, I'll be fine, right? Wrong. In laboratory animals, sensitization actually gets stronger when you give it intermittently. Instead of giving it every day, you give it every 3 days. You can give it once a week. I think it's been done once a month. Once a month, give the drug. They show increased sensitivity to that same dose of drug. Sensitization gets even stronger with intermittent injections. Has important translational impact, important clinical implications from that, if you think about that. Sensitization lasts for a considerable length of time after drug exposure. Tolerance we normally think as dissipating across several days, maybe a couple of weeks. Sensitization is going to go on for a very long time. Think of it as learning something. If I finally get you to learn my definition of addiction, you're not going to be able to get that out of your brain for a very long time if you really learn it. And you might eventually forget it. It might eventually go away. The real way you get it out of your brain is you learn a new one. You compete with it. You learn new information. Those are called extinction trials if we were to do that with a rat. We teach it not to respond. Sensitization lasts for a long time. What are the clinical implications of that? If you take it just on the weekends, but you don't take cocaine during the week, are you putting yourself at increased risk for cocaine addiction because of sensitization? The answer is yes. It's even stronger intermittently. That doesn't mean take it every day. It's got other problems with that. But stronger with intermittent once a week administration. Well, what if I don't take it for 3 months? Am I back to normal yet? Can I just start over and start taking it again? In other words, I'll take it for like the first 3 months, and then I'll go off of it for 3 months, and then I'll go back on it for 3 months. And that way I'll never develop an addiction. I'll just enjoy my cocaine. You know, that recreational drug use, as some people would call it, doesn't work that way. Sensitization persists for a long time. I'll show you in a moment. I'm going to show you how to analyze this problem. Sensitization parallels the increased reinforcing effects seen with repeated drug administration. I've been hammering that point all the way around. What's the effect that you expect to see related to drug addiction? Increased motivational efficacy. What psychopharmacological event would be related to increased motivational efficacy? Sensitization, not tolerance. If you showed tolerance to the reinforcing effect, then you would mature out. You would take the drug for a while, and now the drug's not as reinforcing as it used to be, so you take more, and then you develop tolerance to that, and you take more, and then you develop tolerance to that. Oh, isn't that what happens? Yeah. Well, eventually you get to the point that you can't take anymore, and you got tolerance to it, you would quit taking the drug. You'd go through extinction. It'd be like taking placebo. Doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, there's not a natural history of addiction that includes maturing out of the addiction. Tolerance is also context-dependent. When you do see tolerance, like tolerance to the sedative or the toxic effect of opiates, the respiratory depressant effect, that shows tolerance. And it's context-dependent. You could lose it if you take your drug in the wrong spot.
These podcasts are copyright 2012 by the Addiction Science Network. They are produced in collaboration with the State University of New York at Buffalo and are provided solely for educational purposes. Podcasts can be directly downloaded from www.addictionscience.net. Transcripts are also available for some podcasts at our website, as are other documents and commentaries regarding drug addiction and select topics on psychopharmacology. These podcasts can be copied and freely distributed as long as the source is acknowledged and provided they are not edited in a manner which changes the fundamental meaning of the selected passages when quoted out of context of the entire presentation. Correspondence from professional colleagues is welcomed and can be sent to info@addictionscience.net. We do not offer clinical services, nor do we usually have time to reply to questions emailed from the general public. When listening, please keep in mind that these podcasts are targeted for academic and professional listeners. Everyone is invited to share any information they find useful, but our target audience is not the general public. Finally, please note that the Addiction Science Network is the sole author of this work, and views and opinions expressed herein should not be construed as official policy of the State University of New York.